Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Artist Interviews. I'm your host. This is Harris Jagganjack, and today we have Dreddy with us, good friend of mine and very talented musician. Dreddy, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, and I'll go ahead and get into asking you a few questions here.
312's finest. There's nobody behind this.
Okay.
Dreddy.
Okay. Enough said. So I wanted to start off by asking you just a couple questions here.
Run it.
Just about yourself as an artist. First of all, how would you describe your genre of music?
Peaceful. Definitely peaceful. I don't really know how else to explain it. Like, it's just a relaxed vibe. It's a vibe, for one. It's just mellow. You wake. It's like background music to your life. I'll put it as that.
Okay. I hear you. And we were talking a little bit before we started the show. Mm-hmm. And you were telling me about how a lot of your life revolves around your car and around music. And I've noticed that's like a lot of the theme is just music that you write to. And fun fact, we actually worked together on a track I engineered for you called Ride. And we'll talk a little bit more about that here down the road. But just talk a little bit about that. I mean, you know, first of all, what really got you into cars in general? You know, it seems like you're really into cars. So tell me a little bit about that.
When I was a kid, it started with my grandfather. He mm-hmm. had year 2000, Chevy Monte Carlo SS, midnight blue. Okay. Chrome exhaust, mud flaps, leather seats, heated, the works.
Yeah. Okay.
It started there because he was infatuated with it. And with me, I won't say I was the favorite grandson, but like, I was my mom's first child and I was a boy. There's not too many girls in my family. He catered to me. So being in his car all the time, I was accustomed to it. Like, I was able to see everything. And I've always been observant. So, like, you notice how I said chrome exhaust tips. Like, that, you feel me? Ever since then, mixing being really observant with seeing cars every day. And, you know, he used to, like, we'll be parked, and he'll have me, like, on his lap, steering wheel.
Yeah.
Just everyday life, just going, driving around, whatever. Okay. I'm seeing cars on the road. Oh, that's clean. That's raw.
Okay.
It ties into pretty much who I am now. So fast forward to me turning, 16, a car I wanted. It wasn't the perfect one. It was a 1999 Cadillac Seville.
Okay.
Black, leather seats. No sunroof, unfortunately. But it was clean, though. I kept it clean.
You got to keep it clean.
And it didn't suit me because, as people eventually see, I'm a teddy bear.
Okay.
I'm like 5'7", 387. So it's like me being a bigger person. My mom was like, no two doors. And if you want one, you're paying for it. I had no job. So, yes, mom, y'all can have it. So, like, they gave me, you know, whatever little money.
Right.
Got me a whip. So, fast forward, 2017, I graduated high school. That whole summer, I was riding, because for my birthday, I turned 18. I bought a year 2000 Chevy Monte Carlo SS. It gets good right here. It was, the only difference was it was black.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was black.
That's the only difference.
And it stopped on the way home.
Damn.
I made it like 5 minutes away from my crib. Car stopped at the red light. Damn.
That must be a nightmare, huh?
It was. It's a part of the process, to say the least. It was part of the process. And then fast forward to this past June, my 21st birthday, I bought a supercharged SS 2004. Some may know about it. A Dale Earnhardt Jr. is red and black. I call it Ruby. That's okay. My baby. So it's been a life, as you can see, a lifelong thing. I know I talk a lot.
All around cars. No, you're good.
I let the mind flow.
I noticed, I mean, obviously you've had a lot of interest around cars. Where did the connection with wanting to make writing music come from then? Was it mainly just because you were into cars, or was there any influences that you had that, you know, got you thinking about that and gave you that type of an idea?
Honestly, it was, when I drive, I like to listen to music, as everybody does. I like to listen to loud music, but it's a vibe. Like, relax. You don't have to be overly aggressive with. Like, it's times where you just want to just drive, sunroof open. It's just the sun hitting. You just cruise.
I guess that's really what I'm trying to get at here is, you know, what is your vibe? How would you describe your vibe? I'm mellow. If you could paint a scene for me, like, you know, what's the scenery like when you're riding? What do you imagine your music, your scenery to be?
I can paint the picture for you. Okay. I'm driver's seat, tinted Cadillac, black leather seat, speakers up, sunroof. I don't like to be seen, so 5% tinted.
Okay.
You know, the ride, they'll hear it eventually, but it ties into that too. the sun. It's usually early morning, like during the summertime, you know, okay. Like that orange start to hit the sun trees and everything.
Okay.
Or sunset, when, you know, sun is going down, everything's slow, it's after rush hour, people are just getting home, stuff like that. It really is, all this is stuff I used to see in my childhood that I fell in love with, like nature, trees, all this stuff, I paint the picture in my words. That's like orange. That's really like the color, like sunset type thing.
Okay.
Like, really, it's just happiness, positivity. It's uplifting. Like, you don't have to rap about, you know, getting money or, you know, intimacy. I ain't gonna be too dirty, but, you know,
I understand.
Like, you don't need that to make music. Yeah, it's a part of, like, you know, media right now, but there's a lot, the little things I enjoy. So I don't need a gun. Or I don't need a woman with detox. Like,
okay.
Give me my key.
I hear you.
And, you know, the weed, whatever, and we good. That's it. I'm a simple man.
Okay. Okay. I hear you. I mean, I wanted to ask you a little bit about what drives your creativity. What's the main driver of how you create music?
Freedom.
Freedom. Give me a little bit more. Freedom in what way?
Throughout life in general, I was always sheltered from being creative by this thing we call school. Like, it was always, my parents always expected something of me, or the society, like, I felt like I had to be something.
Okay.
When in reality, I grew up and it was like, they're looking for the same thing I'm looking for, and the whole time, you don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm like, oh, I started making music too, and it was hard for me to break out of my shell because I was so used to worrying about what other people would think about me. I'm like, but it sounds good. Like, I don't be embarrassed. No. After a while, I'm like, you know what? I just started putting words together. Like, I just realized, like, my mind is, I think a lot differently compared to the people around me, which is like, I can just put words together. It sounds smooth.
Yeah.
Especially like, talking to women, too.
Mm-hmm. I
like,
agree.
I don't know. After a while, like, I wasn't really doing it on purpose. I was just, like, saying things. And it was like, oh. That was cool. Let me, you know, one of my old friends used to make music. He was like, try. So.
Yeah.
Wrote. Boom. And once I graduated, it was like the fear of being embarrassed just went away because I wasn't always around people.
Mm-hmm.
So I started putting more music out.
Okay.
It was just to tie it all the way back around, just creativity. Your mind is a terrible thing to waste.
I agree.
Truly. You don't know. You limit yourself to everything you think you can and can't do. Like, you don't even have, like, you can do anything. And it took me a while to understand it. Like, you can do anything. We're so worried about, like, the fear of rejection or the fear of failure. Once you get over that, you'll try anything. Aim high. And when you aim high, you hit your target. Next time, aim higher. You got to shoot past the stars.
Constantly motivate yourself, right?
Every day.
Yeah.
Sometimes, look, you can't even expect other people to, like, you know, deal with your music or, you know, support it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to be your own support system.
Yeah.
And that's cool, too.
I agree.
But don't stop.
Where would you say most of your support comes from? Do you have, like, a good following around the hometown? Is there, you know, is the audience spread thin and throughout the world? How would you describe your audience?
My audience really is the better part of Chicago.
Okay.
Better part of Chicago. The city, surprisingly, which surprised me because I don't know too many people in the city. I know, like, you know, family and people I grew up with. Like, I go out there and I kick it with my peoples, whatever, but I didn't expect, you know, for people further, like, I live in the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
So the city in general, I'm like, okay.
Right.
It's something I can work with because I know what target I'm going for. I know I can reach them. It's just a matter of getting them to it. Because I wouldn't be surprised if my audience is a little older because I'm like I grew up around like kind of like old heads, so it's like people they was younger than like they were like in their 20s then, like I'm 21 now, so that they're in their 40s and you know like that's it kind of just tied into who I am today. Like this is the people I kind of just what's the word like the frequency is there.
Okay,
so. Excuse me, that's really what, like, the people I go for. I never actually thought about the question.
Yeah.
I've never, like, nobody has ever asked me, like, I've never had to think about it. I've never actually thought about it, like.
It's a tough thing to think about, because, you know, there's a difference between who you perceive your audience is and who you want your audience to be, and I feel like, you know, we're both artists in the greater Chicago area. I feel like, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but sometimes it can be tough to get support around this area. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Which is why you mentioned, you know, having to be your own support system a lot of times. Talk to me a little bit about that. What are some of the, I guess, you know, issues that you've run into, at least, you know, trying to get fans around Chicago or working with other creatives even around the area?
Getting them to listen.
Really?
Definitely. Definitely getting them to listen. It was mainly the issue because there's not, like, I guess the area I live in, and just getting people to listen around my area is completely different from, like, the music I make. So, like, the people that usually will listen to it, like, they don't, like, you got the Chief Keef and everything. Like, it's all mainstream. Like, I'm an underground artist. Like, I've always been a firm believer, like, underground music in general is much better than mainstream music. Because I feel like when you're underground, you're hungry. You got that drive. Look, you in gear. You in motion. You chasing it. Once you hit mainstream, it's like, all right, the money comes easy. Everything seems to be saturated and fake. I can't do it.
I agree.
So it's like you got all the mainstream artists now, and people are just starting to pop up out the blue. So that's one less person that will listen to you. So now you got to work twice as harder to get them to listen. And if they don't, and in the area, it's just suburb. Like, in the area I live in, it's definitely money motivated. Like,
of course.
You can look around and see everything. Compared to when I lived near the city, okay, you can clearly see the difference. It's culture shock. Like, there will be much more. You can say, like, okay, they listen to the music you make, or close to the music you make. They'll definitely listen to it compared to, you know, your neighbor who's middle-aged, jazz music.
No, and there's a difference, yeah. So just to kind of clarify, you do make, like, a hip-hop music, correct?
Yes.
Would you classify it as mainly hip-hop or, like, like a subgenre of that?
I'll definitely say hip-hop.
Okay. Hip-hop. Nice. Talk a little bit about Ride. We worked on the track together. I mean, tell me a little bit about the inspiration that came from that for that record.
Man. I heard the beat.
Okay.
And I'm the type, if I don't like a beat within 5-10 seconds, you usually lose me. Because I kind of have, like, short-term memory. It's like, after a while, it's like, I get bored quick.
Yeah.
So, another thing, I love samples. Majority of my music is sampled. So. Yeah. The sample in the song as well, that's what caught me. Because I've heard my favorite artist ever, Currency. He used the same sample. I don't remember what song it is. But he used the same sample. Ride uses the sample slowed down, different vibe. It fits me. So I'm listening to it. I'm like, okay. I was really going to drop it on a tape. But I'm like, I found something better. So I was like, all right, I dropped this one as a single. The words usually just start coming to me whenever I make music. So the first thing that came to my mind when the bass started kicking it was early in the morning. Wake up, say my prayers, let my spliffing get the blowing. Like that's what it was. And then that's when my thinking can start to kick in. Cause I'm listening to the beat too. I'm already thinking of where I want things to be, like beat wise, like drops and little stuff here and there. It all happens just quick. After that, I'm thinking, I'm like, it's a relaxed vibe. I can just start thinking of just stuff I'm doing. And then it starts, like, I start to think a little more, making it sound good. Hit the shower. Brush my teeth and get dressed. Caught keys on the dresser. Grab my lighter. Now I'm on it.
Painting a picture for the audience.
Portraits, man. Portraits.
I hate it.
Like I said before, I'm just talking.
Yeah.
It just happens. I honestly, I can't really completely explain how, like, my mind works. It just works that way.
Would you say you have a message that you're trying to send out to the audience?
I mean, it's not really a message. I'm always been creative. And even just recently, like, just something just happened to me. I ain't really going to go into detail with it, but it's just like, you hold peace. You hold, like, all this energy inside of you trying to keep the peace outside. Be you. Be free. Free yourself. This involves creativity. Let your mind flow. There's a lot of things you could be thinking about, billion-dollar ideas, and you just cloud it with all these other negative thoughts that you've just learned to keep. Well, I mean, I guess a few of the things you've remembered over the years. It's like, oh, I don't even want to do it.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Yeah.
I just say whatever. Luckily for me, it sounds good. But, like, that's all it is. I'm just speaking my mind, just being free all the time.
Yeah, and you mentioned freedom earlier, too. I wanted to ask you, you mentioned Currency. Mm-hmm. What would you say if Currency had the opportunity to listen to your music? What do you think he would say?
Keep working.
Keep working.
Definitely keep working. I don't expect him to be like the easily impressed man, because he's been doing it for the longest, and I'm okay with that, because I'm willing to work if it means I get a record deal from him. If he just so happen to listen to this, look, come on, put me on the roster.
Okay.
He'll definitely tell me keep working. I know I'm in the right direction. He'll just tell me keep pushing.
How far would you say you are?
How far?
Yeah. How far do you think you are? What is I guess the level that you want to be at, to where you think you'll be able to impress somebody such as Currency?
To put it simply, everything you can do, I can do better. I've been thinking about, like, you know, doing a little mixtape, mm-hmm. and just taking a few songs of his, remix them, take a few songs of mine, boom, send it to him.
Okay.
Just to see what he says, if he even listens to it. Like, just to see what he says. Never know. He like, bro, you sound like me. You never know. If that's the case, look.
Yeah.
But it's definitely been something I thought about. I'm definitely not at the bottom, but I'm on my way up.
Okay.
I'm on my way up.
I hear you. Where do you draw the line at success? Like, what does success mean to you, and if you could tell me what it looks like for you, tell me a little bit about that.
This is a question a few of my homies have asked me, because I'm in my own little collective. We call ourselves The Movement. Mm-hmm. So when sometimes y'all may hear me in my music, I say The Movement, or I just simply say TM, The Movement. They've asked me, like, because we all have the same goal. They're like, what do you consider success to you? Like, what is your definition of success? And I don't base it off of a net worth. I don't base it off of a materialistic thing. I simply say three things. I want to be stable, I want to be happy, and I want to be successful.
Okay.
Or comfortable. So four, comfortable.
Okay.
Those four things, that's all it is.
Okay.
I just want me a little penthouse, or give me like a little house in the middle, somewhere around trees, yeah. Where the sun, I can see the sun every morning come up and go down, and a garage for all my cars.
Okay.
That's all I want.
Okay. Obviously, you know, we've been talking a lot about music. Mm-hmm. Tell me what motivates you outside of music. You know, do you have an outside force that drives you, something that, you know, either gives positivity to your life or inspiration to your music that may not be directly involved with it, I should say.
I wouldn't necessarily say struggle, but that's like the most fitting word that comes to my mind right now.
Right.
I've been on both sides of the spectrum. I've had, you know, little. I've had a lot, but I've never went without. My parents always made sure me and my sister had whatever it is we needed. Even if we had to sacrifice a little bit, we always had the essentials. We always had it. So I never starved. I don't want to paint this picture like, oh, I came from the bottom in the slums. No. To make one thing clear, just in case event, like, I know I'm on my way up. They're going to question it. I am from Evergreen Park, Illinois. That is not Chicago. Evergreen Park, Illinois.
Okay.
But for those that know the area, 87th Street, I'm off 87th in California. Once you cross the train tracks, you hit Western, you practically there. So that's where I am. That's where I'm from. I moved to the suburbs when I was like 9. Something happened in like, oh wait, I can't remember, but it was time to relocate, start fresh again. We took the opportunity. My mom, my dad did that for me. So that's that.
That's that.
I get carried away. I'm sorry.
No. That's all good.
All of that in general. Just having a taste of what it felt like to have to nickel and dime sometime. I don't want to go back to that.
Okay.
And even like I'm in a much better position. My parents, we're good now. But still, the whole point, I don't want to ever go back to that, just in case, let's say something does happen, you know?
Yeah.
Just money for a rainy day. You never know what could happen.
Okay.
And especially if they're out here looking outside of Earth for other planets and shit we can, like, move to. I want some money where I can be straight. Well, we good.
Okay.
And even if that's a billion years from now, while we here, my parents and everybody that's alive around me now, look, I'm going to make sure we straight. I'm going to make sure generations after me is straight.
Okay.
This is a gift, and I don't like working a 9-to-5.
Okay.
I don't.
So we're talking generational wealth.
I'm not just going to give them money and say, look, you don't have to struggle ever again. You're going to work, because why would I have to put in all the work just to put you in a position where you don't have to do anything? Mm-mm. You got to earn your keep still. Yeah. I make it easier, but I won't make it impossible.
Yeah.
So I'm just putting everybody, the few people that's left before me, people that's with me now, and everybody after me just in a better position.
Yeah.
And besides, I don't, just the basic work until you die. Like, don't you want to be known for something?
Of course.
Like, I refuse to leave this planet without my mark on something. Y'all going to remember me for something. I don't know what it may be. I might build a rocket ship. I might,
put the cover art on the rocket ship. Wrap it up, right?
Black-owned golf course somewhere. Who knows?
There you go. But
I got us.
Okay.
I don't like working 9-to-5, so it's like almost, it's a talent I'm taking advantage of.
Mm.
And besides, I feel like music is just saturated with the BS.
So, I mean, as far as music goes, is that the only thing that you are hoping that brings you that generational wealth, or is there, like, other things that you're interested in? Because you mentioned, you know, you're going to make it easier for others. You know, just talk a little bit about that. What are some of the other things that you're interested in, you know, either getting into yourself or helping others out with?
I want my own business. That's, besides music, it's something I enjoy doing. I love music.
Okay.
I don't see myself doing anything outside of music as far as getting money-wise. Now, once I get into that position where, okay, I can, you know, venture off and start little side hustles here and there, okay. I personally don't see myself being a rapper forever.
Okay.
Because the spotlight. If I can just be making music, personally, my perfect situation would just be me making music. I got my fan base. I come do a show, do a tour, drop an album, back into my coop. Like, I don't like being in the public eye. So I plan on eventually taking, you know, my winnings from music, and I'm putting it into my collective, the movement. I'm not going to answer for them, but what I want to bring to that is simply just getting, for one, homeless. It's cold outside. Still, I'm getting them off the street. Even if it involves me, you know, and my guys buying a building and just to house them, something. It's better than being on a cold sidewalk. Yeah. Especially during winter. There's people freezing to death. That's not a way to go out.
Yeah, that's happened, especially here in Chicago.
That's no way to die. That's like we the have fact that we allow weather. That, that's inhumane.
I know.
That's one thing. Just overall bettering the planet. I want to go global with it. We want to go global with it.
Yeah. That's something that's, you know, interested me as well ever since I was a kid. I would say that was my driving motivator as a musician as well. And I feel like a lot of people have that, I don't want to call it a similarity, but like almost a commonality around amongst each other. Like musicians want to make the world a better place a lot of times. Some are like, you know, greedy, but I feel like for the most part, we're all good, you know. We're all about spreading the love, right?
It's all about positivity, spreading the love.
Yeah.
It's a lot of times where I wanted it. In reality, I already had it. So I'm just like, now I realize I have a lot of it. So I just want to just give it to the world. Give back. I want to be that person. I want to be that person I was looking for when I was younger. I'm that. I want to be him or be that. You never know who else may be looking for that same figure in life. Just give it to him.
Have you been able to do anything for the community around you or anything like that in the past?
Well, I've definitely done things for the community, but recently I've been just focused on music, so I haven't had time to. But going back into the whole car scene thing, yeah, I had to do community service for a ticket.
Yeah.
So it kind of brought me like, all right, look.
Okay.
You ain't getting paid to do this, but here's your opportunity.
Yeah.
So,
Okay.
The state ain't really like the way I was driving, which it's a fast car.
What'd you have to do for community service?
I did a food pantry. Like, they had me bagging up food, boxing food, whatever, putting stuff in boxes, handing them to people. Just do that for a few hours. And some people, it brought a smile to them.
Okay.
Truly. Like, thank you. Like, I was like, no problem. Just, I feel like it should be more helping in general. Y'all, it's just a lot of it ties into social media and music. Like, it also ties into, like I was saying, like, you don't need to have a gun in your song. You don't need to have, you know, you don't need to be doing, I'm talking about all the drugs you're doing. Back in the 90s, that wasn't even acceptable.
Yeah.
You go further back, two people were being embarrassed in songs about it. What's the song? I ain't even trying to, like, I think it was like, Yo Mama's on Crack Rock. Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Compared to now, a Lil Pump. Mm. Crazy. Got a whole diamond chain, say drug addict on it. Really? Mm. Come on, man. That ain't nah. So, and that's the image that social media picks up and society picks it up off of that.
Yeah.
So it's like when I be on Instagram and it takes away from people. Like, people don't realize, like, we've all changed because of the music. Y'all don't even want to help people no more.
You think music has that big of a pull on society?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Just get to put your pride aside, put some gloves on, and go to a food pantry and pack up boxes of food for people.
I feel like it's two sides to a coin. I feel like the music influences society as much as society influences the music.
Indeed.
Because at the same time, as much as the music is being pushed onto us, we validate it by listening to it and playing it. You know what I mean?
Domino.
Yeah.
You got that one person. Oh, I like this. Vicious cycle. All it takes is one person.
Yeah.
And it takes a village for your song to get out there. That village also happens to be a country or just big radio stations, whatever is hot.
Yeah.
Everybody listens to it. And it's been happening for so long where it's like people change. Like, society has changed. Like, I just don't feel the sincerity in people anymore. Or like just walking around just letting things like organically happen. Like, you always have to have like that. You got to always plan something. Like,
yeah. Yeah, for social media.
Like TikTok and all that.
It takes up a lot of time in our lives, I feel like.
I'm like,
especially as musicians, indeed, to promote it independently, you know?
Just imagine, like, if there was a wave to start about positive music. Even in Chicago, like, the whole, we'll put the guns down. What if somebody was to come out here and really pop off, like, that one song?
Yeah.
And people decide to put the guns down. And then they talk about, go help people. You got people out here going to be mowing grass for free. No problem. You might go to a restaurant, somebody open the door for you.
Yeah.
Like, little things.
Yeah.
I don't mind doing that. Yeah, I had to do it for community service, but my point is to take that and make it on a larger scale. Just, there's nothing wrong with being nice to the next man. The next man may need you.
Yeah.
Or you may need the next man. My fault. Just.
I agree. 100%. It's a lot about the, lately for me, especially as an artist myself, it's been all about the community. And I feel like, you know, like you said, you know, the music also influences the community. So we got to put that positivity out there. You know, you see negative in the world, you want to make it a better place. So I see where you're coming from.
For sure. Especially those big artists. You guys have the biggest pull. They have the biggest pull.
Yeah.
You got radio stations playing your music all day.
Yeah.
There's nothing for you to have a song, put it out there. Like, I'm not saying there's no songs out there, but the possibility of a song being positive or being, you know, I guess, violence-free almost, can change a lot.
Yeah.
Chief Keef, crazy.
Yeah.
Like,
I hear you.
It happens.
Kind of just to wrap up, I wanted to ask you, you know, whether there's any new tracks or projects that you'd like to share with us in the audience.
I definitely have something for the summer. There's a tape coming for the summer. I'm not going to say when, but it'll definitely be while everybody's still tying up the little loose ends, whenever, you know, getting the whips ready for the ride out for the summer, you know, making sure the paint buffed and clean and your leather, the stitching on point, no rips, chrome hitting, no curb rash, none of that. While y'all doing that, I'm going to focus on this. That way when your speakers and your sound's hooked up, that first 75-degree day, sunny, you got something to ride to. I got you.
Okay.
But it's not just, it's not going to be all, it's going to be, I'm going to be in my bag for this one. It's a little something for everybody.
Okay.
It's a little test run, but it's going to be a serious test run.
That sounds good. I'm looking forward to hearing it, man.
Man.
Where can we follow you?
For sure, follow me on Instagram, underscore DRETTI underscore. You can add me on Snapchat if you want for, like, the, I guess, the little background, you know, VIP lounge type. MARCO-ANDRETTI. That's Marco-Andretti. Cool. Twitter at IAmDretti, capital I, capital AM, capital D. Dreddy. So, yeah.
Cool.
I would say my email, but that's a
that's a lot. Man. Yeah. No, I hear you. All right, well, thank you for joining us today, Dreddy. I really appreciate your time. Make sure you guys go check out Ride, available on SoundCloud. And have a nice rest of your day.
Peace and love be upon you all. Thank you for listening.
Take care.